The Triple M Footy.
Listen to the fans.
Fan Podcast.
It is the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast, talking footy like you talk footy, a day late today, which can be expected and probably respected with everything that's happened over the last couple of days. But we are back, and we are going to be talking the first week of the finals. Rudy's going to ask if there was any actual good games. I've got a good theory on that one. Obviously, we're going to talk Cats versus Pies, Lions versus Tigers, Giants versus Dogs, Eagles versus Dons. We're going to give you our three-word reviews for Essendon and the Western Bulldogs seasons. And, of course, round it all off with Fly Wire Doors. Like I said, this is the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast. I am Rabs. Of course, I am joined by the great man, Rudy Edsel. How are you, mate?
I am well. It's sunny.
It is. And we are joined by a jovial Ethan Meldrum because it's been nigh on 3 weeks since Melbourne have lost a game.
They're undefeated in that stretch.
It's their best run of the season.
It's more than you can say for at least a couple of teams. So, yeah, I can't really complain too much.
No, you can't. Look, as always, we do kick off the pod with our legend of the week. And it's very hard to go past one of Triple M Footy's favourites, one of our mates, Spud Frawley.
Yeah, Spud, he will always be Triple M family. He'll always be part of the Wolfpack. He was well-loved here. He was well-loved everywhere. And you can see that from the reaction across the board in the footy media. Everyone is devastated.
Yeah.
Here, Fox Footy, SEN, the Herald Sun, the Age, absolutely everyone that's had anything to do with footy, the AFL, everyone is just gutted. To lose this man, he's one of the all time greats in any sphere you can think of. He was a brilliant defender. I remember watching him as a kid. He was a great media personality. He was a good administrator. He was a good coach. Like, he took a Richmond to a prelim, which was like a pretty decent. It was like successful for them back then. It's kind of like one of those things where you're lost for words.
Yeah, it was one of a rare breed of people who, you know, brought the enthusiasm to the game and tried to bring it out as much as possible and above all else.
Yeah.
And he never lost sight of that. He's like, whether he was, you know, whether he was clipping people on the Saturday Rub or whatever he was doing, it was always about trying to, you know, have fun himself, you know, make fun of himself, make fun of other people, but in a fun sort of way. And he never lost sight of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a bit younger than you, Rudy, and Ethan is younger than me, myself again, so I never remembered him playing, but I remember when I went to the footy and they had the reserves games before the seniors, and being a Collingwood fan, Danny Frawley was the coach of our reserves team.
Oh, yeah.
And I still just remember thinking, oh, wow, Danny Frawley's the coach of our reserves team. Having never watched him play, he had just that aura about him, and everyone just loved Spud and respected Spud. Yeah. And if you look at our comments and on most of the social posts, it's the same sentiment over and over again. It's, I didn't know Spud, but I felt like I did just the way he carried himself through the media.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's the mark
absolutely.
Of the man.
Absolutely. And by all accounts, I didn't. We overlapped. Ethan and I overlapped with him by a year doing like covering footy, but didn't actually meet him. And everyone that's worked with him said he had time for everyone. You know, no matter who or what you did, he would say g'day to everyone. You know what he felt like to me? He felt like footy's uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even this year, like, he'd still come into the Triple M box and the games I was doing and just g'day to everyone.
Yeah.
It was great. So I thought the sentiment and the playback of the old Rub stuff has been awesome over the last 18 hours, or 24, sorry, yeah. 36 hours, I should say. But, you know, and it's just so funny, like the makeup thing.
The makeup thing's so good.
Hilarious.
When Gary Lyon revealed that he'd gotten one of his teeth done.
Yep.
Oh, classic.
Because
he was the first to jump on blokes' backs if they were getting ahead of himself.
Well, he started the whole Chompers thing with Tony Jones. Yeah.
And, if you haven't heard any of this stuff, or you want to hear it again, just go to any Triple M socials. It's all up there. You can get the Triple M app, Triple M Footy. We've just chucked a bunch of just search the Rub, basically, and you can go as far back as you want and listen to some of the best stuff. So, Vale Danny Frawley, and seriously, probably the best legend of the week we'll ever have on this podcast. So.
Yeah, legend of the year.
Yeah,
legend of Triple M.
Yeah.
So, moving on now to the actual footy. First week of the finals has been run and done. And it actually feels like it was a lifetime ago just because so much has happened since the weekend.
Yeah.
Ethan, you made a comment off air that it actually genuinely, you've forgotten what actually happened over the weekend. So
yeah, I'm glad there's a rundown in front of me because I'm really lost.
Well, yeah, I had to search back in my mind. I was like, what was the day game on a Saturday? Like,
What's going on this week?
I
don't even know what day it is.
The Essendon West Coast game actually almost was a week ago, I suppose.
Well, let's start there. Essendon West Coast. I mean, it was probably the easiest of the finals to pick a winner from.
Yeah.
No one was really surprised with the result and how it came. I mean, Essendon looked okay in the first quarter. Then, unfortunately, their soft underbelly was revealed. A couple of blokes were underdone going into that game, particularly Michael Hurley. And West Coast are just a good team. You know, they've got some of the best, like,
so
users
clean
of the ball I've seen, like, field kicking, like Liam Ryan, Willie Rioli,
Lewis Jetta.
Like, these Lewis guys Jetta are just freaks.
Is like absolute cream of the crop when it comes to kicking.
He's best kicking the game.
What about when he's running down the wing, sees someone on the other wing, and kicks it on the outside of his boot, lace out to this person sprinting down the wing?
Like, he makes the footy talk, Lewis Jetta. It's incredible to watch. Just like he sees things that no one else sees, and he executes them better than just about anyone else in the game.
But what about the fact before that game was bounced, like 2 days before it, there was talk that Woosher was going to get fired. It's like, you are in the finals.
The actual finals.
The actual finals.
There are 10 teams below you.
Yeah. It's strange, incredible, isn't it? Like, they got done by 9 goals, and everyone was like, oh, he'll get sacked now. And then now they've come out and said he won't get sacked. I don't really get what's going on there.
Full support of the board?
Okay, well.
Well, no support of Matthew Lloyd.
Yeah.
Lordo was going hard in any possible like medium he had in the ensuing days. But look, West Coast move on to another final, and they, of course,
play Geelong. The G.
Friday night, Geelong versus Collingwood. You've got written down here there were no good games. I don't agree with you. I thought Friday night was a sensational game of football.
What did you reckon, Ethan, as a neutral watcher?
See, if I can touch back, there was a good game. Essendon did lose a final.
Well, what do you think about
what do you think of Friday night?
Yeah,
I thought it was, you know, you could see the writing on the wall from like a week out when Geelong started making excuses about having to play a home final at the MCG.
The game itself was nearly unwatchable.
Oh, it was absolutely dreadful.
It was terrible. But like, come on,
let's Pagan's paddy kit. You and I, Ethan, and let's just let Rudy go.
So, okay, you said
Rudy.
You said that you could tell the Cats were going to lose from a week out, and they're making excuses, whatever. I realised Geelong was going to lose was on Thursday night, 35 odd minutes after the teams were released. Jay Clark is reporting there's likely to be a late change. They're going to drop Stanley for men of goal because they expect it to rain. At that point, I went, "We are done." There is they've already outthought themselves.
Chris Scott going full Jane Bunn 24 hours.
I just don't
understand
what like. For one thing, why did they name Stanley in the side? Like, he'd been dropped at the last training session.
You
named
the teams 25 minutes
Everyone
ago.
Knew that.
Hang on. I think it might be time for that.
The big fella's angry. It's Rudy's rant.
All right. Yeah, we'll go with this. So, Stanley, they knew that he was going to be a laid out. Why name him in the side? Who are you fooling? Everyone knew that you were going to make the change, and including Reece Stanley, who'd been told in the last training session. What's the point of moving your best defender to the ruck? You're weakening your ruck. You're weakening your defence. They looked out of sync in the defence to start with. And it's the same thing as it's been in every final for the last few years. Blown off the park by a quarter time. How many times has that happened to Geelong in the last few years? Pretty much every time they play a bloody final. It's getting really old. I've stuck fat with Chris Scott for a long time. I think he's a really good coach. But I think he needs the run-up of an off-season to get a game plan in place, and then once they get figured out mid-season or mid-game, he struggles to recalibrate, right? Like I said, I've stuck fat with him. I don't want him sacked, but something's got to change because it's too frequent that they lose this way. They're so predictable in finals. You just go out, you ramp the pressure up, smack them around the ball. They try to play this like slow game, which you can't play in finals. It's not finals footy. You're gonna get smacked around the ball every time because your skills fall apart because that's what happens in finals. There needs to be a change somewhere. I don't think Chris Scott needs to go necessarily, but there needs to be some kind of, like, there needs to be a big tweak, because what they're doing at the moment is just, it's, I thought this team had changed. Like, I thought that they had come good. And then, no, it's the same thing. Every Cats fan I know is so flat and angry about this, because this was the time, you know, this was the team that had changed it. And no, it hasn't. It's just frustrating.
So Rudy's taken the loss well.
Mate, at least I'm not like the in all the comment sections of on Facebook just looking to sack Chris Scott.
No, look, I'm not a Geelong fan, but I wholeheartedly agree with everything you've just said then. But, like, Ethan, you even said it yourself. Like, a week out, Collingwood had already won that game.
I think that's a bit revisionist to say. I don't think that's true. I think by quarter time they'd won the game.
Rudy, this is... Triple M Footy podcast. We talk footy like they talk footy. Right. But you can't use revisionist. I don't even know what that means.
It means you're changing history.
Right.
Just keep it to two syllables maximum.
Please. but on the flip side, Collingwood's win has opened the draw up massively for them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yep. So basically guarantees them a granny.
Well, no. Nothing's guaranteed in September. But Brisbane or GWS... You know, you'd probably take
that. You'd be pretty happy to take that at the G.
I think.
Yeah.
Well, Collingwood beat GWS last year in a semi.
Yeah, in a semi.
To get through to the prelim. So, interesting. Very, very interesting. We spent a lot of time on that game. Let's move on to Giants versus Dogs. We are going in linear order.
Yeah, okay. linear. We're talking footy the way they talk footy. You can't say words that big, man.
We're going in
it's also too long.
We're going in order of games played. So Giants versus Dogs up at the Giants Stadium. Look, I thought personally the writing was on the wall for this one as well. The Giants were backed in from like $2.20 to $1.80 when the ball bounced.
It was interesting because all the chat about the Dogs right up until they made the finals was like, oh, they'll absolutely spank GWS. And then almost as soon as the fixture came out, everyone went, actually, no, I think GWS will probably win this. And then they blew them off the park.
Are you saying that special comments people in AFL media made a decision and then they flipped on it? How many times have people written off Essendon, then said they were going to be good, then written them off again? Same as the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs are just a young team.
To be fair, the Dogs were...
They'll come. They'll be great for the next 3-4 years, the Dogs. Mm.
The Dogs were playing... as well as just about anyone those last 6 weeks of the home and away. But people did quickly forget Giants have got a percentage of, what, 120?
Mm. Yeah.
Like, a good side that wasn't really stringing some good results together. They were perfectly capable of winning that game.
I thought this game was very well coached by Leon Cameron. If you're worried about Chris Scott's coaching in the finals, I don't think if I'm a GWS fan I'm worried about Leon Cameron's coaching in the finals, because he said, look, this Bulldogs team's young. And if we go at them hard early, they're not going to be ready for it.
They've got a bunch of blokes that are prime finals age as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And particularly because, you know, the Dogs are not really like a tagging sort of side. They're not they're more a head-to-head side.
Mm. Yeah.
Someone goes after Bont, they're not going to get a response.
Yeah.
Correct.
Like McRae's not going to, or Dunkley is not going to go after, you know, Matt DeBoer and say, you know, piss off, get off Bont and Belly.
I reckon next time someone goes for the Bont though, like, those Dogs will be hunting him back.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, outside of Matt DeBoer, who's the best tagger in the AFL, they've got Toby Green, who is tough as nails. Then they've got the AFL version of Nelson Muntz in Shane Mumford, who just falls in people and beats people up all the time. They were so physical. And
yeah,
the Dogs just went ready.
Shane Mumford up against Tim English, who is like an actual sort of like made of like sort of that pipe cleaning material.
Oh, yes, man, that goal English kicked where he was running in from like 50 metres out, and Shane Mumford had given up the chase before English had the ball.
Was that when Dale Thomas on TV referred to it as the Happy Gilmore moment? I believe that's Mr. Gilmore's drone.
Yeah, that's good from Daisy.
It is very good from Daisy.
They played like weapons of mass destruction, those guys.
They did.
Just like really like explosive.
And they kicked away early, and hats off to the Doggies. They came back, but you could tell when the Giants kicked away again in that third quarter that the Doggies just didn't have another comeback in them. They were just already spent. So.
Yeah, it was a lot of hard work. I don't know if the Giants have got three games in a row like that in them, but yeah, they're a team to watch out for.
I don't think they've even got one more game. When have they ever played twice in a row like that? in their history, just about never.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't watch the Giants that closely. So they move on to play Brisbane, who lost against Richmond in the final from last weekend on Saturday night. Final. Let's start with Dylan Grimes.
the flop.
Now, I was sitting in a lounge room in Elwood, and even I could tell that he dove. So how can an umpire who's 95 centimetres away not tell that he dove for that free kick?
Man, it was a proper 10 out of 10.
It was a proper 10 out of 10.
And then, Olympic gold medal dive.
And then they also didn't get given a hold in the ball, the Lions. So two of Richmond's first three goals arguably shouldn't have happened. And then the Lions got a goal disallowed because, of course, that free kick, because they would have had a set shot on goal. Then Eze Hipwood, you know, with the biggest bump in history on Dylan Grimes, it's turned over.
Yeah, it was, at the end of the day, really, Brisbane, they just went too hard too early and couldn't convert. They should have been five or six goals up at halftime. Mm. They were that dominant. But it's every time, I felt like every time they missed, they'd go up the other end, Richmond, and Dusty would kick a goal.
Yeah, to be fair, the chances Richmond were creating were so much significantly better than what Brisbane were getting. They were getting Dusty 15 metres out directly in front. Yeah. All of Brisbane's shots were, you know, from the boundary. They were making it harder for themselves.
They missed some easy ones as well.
They just took a couple of seconds too long against a really good back line.
Yeah.
And that was the game.
Problem, Brisbane looked like a side that hadn't played finals in 10 years. So basically, that's pretty much.
Except for Luke Hodge, who was phenomenal.
Exactly. That's exactly the point.
Like, he outbodied Dusty twice in that last quarter to take just, like, essentially an uncontested mark after doing all the contested work.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Pinned him holding the ball once, one out, you know, alone inside 50. It was incredible.
I think the commentary was like, Luke Hodge wouldn't want to find himself one-on-one with Dusty. I think Luke Hodge would relish that.
Yeah.
And he would be the only person in that Brisbane team who'd be like, bring that shit on.
Yeah, he just doesn't want to be, he just probably doesn't want to be chasing, like, the Sydney Stack or something.
No, correct. He retired 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Over 2 years ago.
I tell you, Marcus Bontempelli retired him in the 2016 semi-final, and he's still out there.
Yeah. So, Richmond obviously event themselves a week off. Yeah. They look very good.
They just had so much nervous energy that they didn't really know what to do with. They had 23 inside 50s in the first quarter. Brisbane.
Yeah, no, they're a good team. And look, they'll come up against the Giants this weekend to win through, of course, to play Collingwood in the prelim. But Richmond have earned themselves a week off. So
they look miles better than anyone, Richmond.
They look miles better than everyone, which,
We've seen this before.
We've seen it before. It's an interesting, last year on the rush hour, we were giving away prelim final tickets. And a Richmond fan called up and said, I've already got tickets to the grand final. It's like, you just probably need to hold up a little bit.
Yeah, well, you've got to buy them early, don't you? But yeah, they'd won the flag this time last year at Richmond. But I think I don't reckon they're going to get jumped in another prelim like that, to be honest. And they're going to be playing either us or West Coast. I think they're probably going to be okay.
Okay, so let's move on. Before we finish this finals chat and before we move on to our reviews of Essendon versus Western Bulldogs, our tips for finals this weekend. Let's obviously start Friday night with Geelong versus West Coast. Only 55,000 people there.
I refuse to tip this game.
If there's only 55,000 people there, it could have been played at the GMHBA Stadium.
I don't care about that. I just wish everyone would stop talking about that, man.
Well, Chris Scott hasn't
mentioned level one will be half full.
Chris Scott hasn't mentioned
the AFL should just come out and go, we're not ever going to play a final there. Close it off. I don't want to hear about it. No one wants to hear about it. No one wants to talk about it.
I'm happy to hear about it, Rudy. It'd be weird if the AFL come out and did that because no one from Geelong's mentioned it. The coach has never mentioned the fact they're not playing at GMHBA Stadium. So,
No one's mentioned how difficult the V-line trip is.
I personally think...
How hard it is to get off at work at 5 and get at the G by 7.50.
Okay, shush. All right, we've got to move on. I personally think that... we have to move on. West Coast will lose this game because I think that Geelong's backline is way better suited to playing against a taller forward line of West Coast than they are Collingwood's.
Yeah. They're going to have to kick it in the air, but they also, once it does hit the deck, they've got Willie Rioli and Liam Ryan and Jack Petrocelli, I reckon, will come in and boy.
Mm. I don't see how West Coast can lose this.
You don't see how they can lose this game?
No, they've got so many more tricks when they move the ball. They're probably harder at it at ground level. I don't know how they lose. They're playing better footy.
Yeah, they are. They're playing better footy. That's The way they can lose is Geelong chop off their air, dominate them aerially. That's how they can lose. I can see how they can lose.
They whack Nick Nat's ankle in the rooms with a crowbar.
Right, we've got to move on. The other game, Brisbane versus whoever they're playing. GWS. Who wins?
No, Brisbane will win that.
Brisbane.
Yeah. Brisbane? All right. Three-word reviews before we wrap up this podcast of Essendon and the Western Bulldogs season. Ready? Essendon?
Get bloody real.
Okay.
Just get real. Like, what do they stand for at the moment as a footy club?
Mm.
Like, there's no way with the team that they've got they should be getting spanked in the first week of finals by 9 goals and out.
No, I disagree. I don't think their list is as good as what they would like to think that it is.
All right.
15 long years.
Oh, yep.
That's good.
Well, I've got win a final, but I've also got a second one because that's too close to yours. An average club.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Like, if you haven't won a final in 15 years,
I've got a second one.
You've clearly overrated your list because you haven't gone to the draft for the last 25 years.
Yeah, I'm going for the jugular here. Not big four.
No, they're not big four. No. Well, this is not the Premier League. There is no big four. There's only big one, Collingwood. Yeah. Western Bulldogs season review. I'll start this one. Ice packs, please. They were absolutely beaten up in that final. But you know what? They'll recover from that. They'll have a good preseason, and they're going to be on fire next year. They've got a really exciting young list. If they bring in a Josh Bruce or an Adam Tomlinson, it's just going to get even better.
Mm.
2020, watch out.
Yeah.
If you can count a year as a word.
I've got still so young, so I'm basically on the same page as you there. It's they want to find a flag so far ahead of schedule with the list that they've got.
Yep.
Like, and they're so still, far and they're still young.
Yeah. Yep.
They've got a young coach as well who they re-signed, so it's pretty exciting to be a Doggies fan. Right, Flywire Doors time. We're wrapping up the podcast like we usually do. I'll take the new ball here. If Nick Natanui annihilates whoever Geelong is going to pick up in the ruck, that's fine. You can forget this season because Todd Goldstein will be tapping it down to Paddy Dangerfield next season.
You reckon?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Goldstein to Higgins at the Cattery.
Yeah. I like that.
It wouldn't be.
Well, that actually makes me smile.
But you got to go for it.
Yeah.
After 20 minutes of ragging you, like, it's nice for a change,
isn't it? You actually have to go for it now. Like, you got to win.
Well, I'm looking forward to Todd Goldstein getting dropped for the qualifying final next year.
Anyone else going to fly wide doors?
If Geelong get done this weekend, then I'm just not on the pod next week, boys.
Fair enough.
Call the weekend guy. I don't care.
If it's even still possible after his third quarter on Saturday night, then Shane Edwards is still underrated. He was incredible in the midfield.
Still unsigned. Agreed. For next year as well, by the way, but he'll sign again for
next year. He'll play for Geelong, probably.
Can't wait for him to get dropped for a qualifying final as well.
Well, Ethan and Al will be back for a podcast next Tuesday.
Talk all things West Coast.
This is a Triple M Footy Fan Podcast. Don't forget, massive, massive weekend of footy on Triple M. Friday night footy, and then Danny Frawley's special. Gary Lyons returning, going to be simulcast on SEN. It's going to be fantastic. And then after that, the actual rub as well. Then after that, Lyons versus GWS. Triple M rocks footy.